This is Mame Warren. Today is the 22nd of March, 1997. I'm in Lexington, Virginia with Joe Frampton. And we are here on the day after Fancy Dress. And that's why we're here, because you were real involved with Fancy Dress.
Yes,
but before we get into that, we were just talking about this legendary thing about stealing a locomotive.
Right.
Tell me what you know about that story.
Well, it involves ATO, Alpha Tau Omegas, which were the third fraternity founded in Lexington, Lexington Triad, along with Kappa Alpha Order and Sigma Nu. And I think my grandfather was here when it occurred. I have some certainty of this. And he graduated in 1933 from the law school, and he was a beta, so he wasn't directly involved in it, but I think he was here when it happened. And I've heard, most of what I've heard has come down from, not him, but from other people, but what I've heard is that a couple of ATOs or a group of ATOs took a train, and I don't know if they took it for a ride or they took it over to Sweetbriar to pick up their fancy dress dates. Somehow these ATOs took a train for some purpose, got caught, and then as a result of this, the entire ATO chapter got thrown off campus, and they're not allowed to come back on campus for 99 years or until the last living chapter member dies, whichever comes last. That's pretty much what I know about it.
You know, I might pursue this with ATO headquarters.
That might be a place to look.
That might be a place to look.
They probably have a record of it.
So your grandfather was here, and you think it was about when he was here?
I think it was when he was here, so it would have been, say, 32, 33, maybe 31, somewhere along in there.
All right, well, I'm going to keep pursuing it.
I'd be interested to see, you know, what happens, because...
Well, I'll let you know. If this leads to something, I will let you know. I will let you know. So how far back does your association with Washington and Lee go? Your grandfather?
Well, my grandfather was the law school here, and my father was here in the 60s, and it took him 5 years to get through, actually. He came from a small private public school in Maryland, had trouble, and so he went back to Gilman and Baltimore, and then he started up again and graduated in 66 from the C school. And while he was here, he was pretty involved in campus life. He was a dorm counselor. He served on the EC. He was secretary of the EC 1 year, and he was inducted into ODK. So I think when he was here, he was a very prolific student, successful student. And he between him and my grandfather have left this great kind of legacy, I guess, that's starting up in our family. And now I have come here and graduated. My sister is now here, and I'm sure among the two of us, we'll probably have some kids come here. So I was just growing up hearing about WNL this, WNL that, and then when I visited the school, I pretty much fell in love with the place and the location, and so.
So you were destined.
Perhaps. There might have been some destiny there. Certainly felt like I fit in here. And my father was certainly pleased to see me come here, and very, very surprised to see my sister come here, because, of course, it was not co-ed. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I would have never expected to have two children come to WNL, one of whom was a female, but the two have. And
do you know how your father felt about co-education when it was being decided?
I think he was open and positive to the idea, because I think he felt that the quality of the education was declining, because a lot of students in the application process were turned off to the process of a co-ed school or a all-male school, I mean. And so I think my father thinks that every year, and say, I don't know when it started, but every year the quality of the students just kind of decreased a little bit, because there were not the women there, and the women are a moderating influence and adds a lot of competitiveness to the academics. It, I think, benefits everybody. And I think, yeah, I'm glad they're here, and I think he's very glad that they're here. And I think they've done a lot to, probably have done a lot to improve the school.
Okay, well, I don't want to take up too much of your afternoon. You're probably pooped mm-hmm. after all the work you've done. So let's just go right to it. Let's talk about fancy dress.
Mm-hmm.
Were you involved for more than 1 year? Or?
I was involved for 3 years. I went my freshman year, the 92 FD, which was the Christopher Columbus theme, but I wasn't involved that year. But I and another fraternity brother of mine named Leo Decanini, he and I were, we like to build stuff, and we built, like, we used to build fraternity floats, we used to build Habitat for Humanity houses, and we kind of built a lot of that stuff. He had a lot of carpentry skills coming in here. I had some, he had more than I did, and we came in here and the two of us got together and started fooling around with this stuff. And somebody, one of the guys on my dorm worked on FD our freshman year and put me onto this thing and said, you know, you should go work for this. And so our sophomore year, without really knowing much about it, we just applied for this construction committee because that's where we thought our interests lay or lie. And they let us on. And there was five of us on the committee that year, I think, or six maybe. And we built a lot of stuff that year in 1993. And we had a chairman. The construction chairman that year was an SAE guy named Kelly Land, who we didn't have any idea who he was at the time. But he turned out to be a very, very good person to work with and very very open and very successful. And so we were glad to get to work on that.
And what was the theme that year?
The theme that year was, I think the official title was, well, it was some kind of silver screen theme. I forget the official wording, but it was the whole silver screen thing, the whole movie theme, and we had, in the big gym, we had sets from various movies. We had a big set of Wizard of Oz in one corner with like a 16-foot tall Emerald Palace and some of the characters out front. In one corner, we had a Western scene from True Grit, John Wayne's big movies. Another corner that year, we had Rick's Cafe from Casablanca with false walls, and it was a big cafe with painted floor and tables up there, and we had a piano up on that. And in the fourth corner of the big gym, we had a set from Gone with the Wind. We had we were originally going to build this staircase that Scarlett O'Hara comes down. I've never seen the movie, but I've heard about this staircase. And we originally thought about building that, but we wound up just building a model of kind of the city of Atlanta burning, and we got it to burn by, we put some Mylar and some shiny material on the windows and got some lighting effects to go to work, and it worked pretty well. And in the small gym that year, we had a big screen in the small gym that had, I think it had a rotating slides out of various movies on it. And the entrance in sociology class one day, and it turned out to be a big ticket office. It was like a hexagonal ticket booth about 8 feet tall and 4 feet on a face, and it had a big 32-foot long angled sign that stuck out about 5 or 6, probably more like 8 feet out from the glass, and went back to the corners. And so You walked in the sides of this entrance. Now, our entrances in the past couple of years have been things you walk through, like in Paris we had the Arc de Triomphe, you walk through the middle into the middle doors. But this year you walk through the side doors because the middle door is blocked off by this big ticket office. But that year I worked in the big gym. I didn't really have anything to do with the small gym. I worked in the big gym that year and helped out with the Gone with the Wind corner mainly and the True Grit corner, and it worked out. It was a really good thing, and the ball went off pretty well. We had Bo Thorpe there. He's kind of been trying to become a part of the WNL tradition at FD. He hadn't been doing a very good job lately because they keep changing the date around, and he has his date set in stone.
Who is this?
Bo Thorpe. He has this orchestra And he did the swing band 3 of the 4 years that I was here. And it used to be that the ball was, at least when I was here, the ball was the first weekend in March, except for Mock Conyers. And so he got into this pattern of scheduling for the first weekend in March. But last year it wasn't that weekend because of Mock Con, and this year it wasn't that weekend for I don't know what reason. But he hasn't done it the last 2 years, but he was doing it for a couple of years, and he did a very good job. But anyway, Leo and I had, and Kelly had we had a great time building all that stuff that year. We loved the concept of just being able to show up and kind of design this stuff. And we always had to work with the decorations people. And that was always one of the big challenges of setting up for the decorations was because it was usually all girls that did this, and I don't mean that derogatory in any kind of, it was just the way it was. It was pretty much all girls did all the decorations, and they wanted to do this and that, and we had to have some halfway ground to what they wanted and what we could, we thought we could build.
So you're saying they had ideas that weren't realistic?
Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. I can't remember anything specific out of that year, but there always seemed to be a contingent when I was on that committee that wanted to do the Alice in Wonderland theme, and Leo and I were always no, 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 because we could never figure out how to build big mushrooms, and we could never figure out a way to... We always looked for a theme that had big, recognizable objects that weren't too difficult to build, but things like round mushrooms, and the guys out of Alice in Wonderland set are all, the important things are all characters like the Cheshire Cat and Mad Hatter and all these, and those kind of things are, those are pretty difficult to build and get them to look like what they look like in the movie. So we always try to pick themes like that had a lot of big stuff that we could get at.
How does the theme get decided on?
Well, the way we did it the year that I was the chairman, and I think the way that has been done other times, was we put a theme box out in the co-op, and anybody wanted to could submit theme ideas, and then everybody that applied, we usually had about 100 applications for 40 slots on the committee. Everybody that applied had to put down three themes that they thought they might be interested in. And we had a lot of repetition, but when all this was said and done, we had 100 themes to think about. And so the first meeting, we really can't do much with FD until we figure out what the theme's going to be. The first meeting, we put all these themes down on a list of paper, and I sat up in front of the committee, and we just read through them all. So I asked everybody to think briefly about each one, and we read through them, and then we just kind of opened up, and people said, well, I like this one, or they like this one. So we narrowed it down to about half a dozen themes, and then we set people into little groups to go think about, what would you do with this theme, and do a little research onto, what kind of things could we do with this. And then from that half dozen, these people came back a week later with their reports and said, we do this theme, we could do this, 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 and this, and then we built it on from there. So it's a very democratic process, and there's pretty much any theme is open, except I guess, I hate to say it, but Leo and I kind of vetoed a couple of themes, like the Alice in Wonderland theme. We kind of vetoed that 1 year. I don't know that we vetoed it, but there were some themes that were always more workable than others, and those always seemed to win out, and had a lot of good success with those. But it was a very democratic process. Everybody kind of had their say, and we voted on it, and it worked out pretty well. I mean, because if you don't have a theme everybody likes, you're going to have a hard time getting a committee to do a lot. But we always tried to look for a theme that had big, colorful decorations and things that, people could recognize. If you have to put a sign on it and say what this is, then, that's not good. But like last night when we went in there, it was a circus, so it was very generic kind of clown kind of thing. Everybody can recognize that. When we did Paris, we had the Eiffel Tower and the Arc de Triomphe and that kind of stuff. And so, those kind of things that people can just pick up and recognize are, I think, what lend themselves to the most successful.
Now, you mentioned there are 40 people on the committee?
There were, my sophomore year, there was about 60 on there. or my junior year, there were about 60 on there. And then my senior year, we cut it down to 43 because we thought that 60 was just getting too cumbersome.
All right, well, let's talk about your junior year. Okay. And what would 60 people do?
Well, my junior year, the theme was Magic Carpet Ride. And we had about 60 on the committee. We had about a half dozen people on the construction committee. We had another, say, half dozen on the memorabilia. Another, say, 3, 4, 5 doing publicity, which consisted of, you know, making signs, alerting newspapers and getting press and that kind of stuff. But the bulk of the committee has always been the decorations people, because we just usually split the decorations subcommittee. We kind of split that down even further to like a balcony committee, an entrance committee, you know, a small gym committee, and then four committees for the big gym. Everybody has one corner. And then because of that, we had 3 or 4 people on each one of those, and so we had 25 or 30 people on decorations out of the 60. And when it comes down to preparing the ball, that's really where a lot of the work is the decorations. And you need the people in there at the last minute to, I don't know if this kind of stuff is what you want to put in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Interested in.
But that's where the bulk of the people went. And we did it my senior year, we decided the other two people that I started out with, the auditor and the vice chairman, the three of us decided to cut that down to 43, and we kind of paired odds and ends out of these various committees. And we also put a couple of new positions in that year, one to a decoration supervisor, because it used to be just 7 little decorations groups, you know, but there was no overlying decorations person that was kind of responsible for tying them all together. And so we tried to do that, and that seemed to work out pretty well.
So your senior year, you were, what's the title?
I was the chairman my senior year.
Right? How do you get picked to be chairman? Do you run for it? Or?
Well, you apply to the EC, and the EC selects the chairman. But I think the EC, I remember my junior year, the EC was kind of looking around already, because they know that the chairman is going to have to come out of last year's committee, you know, pretty much. Because it's a difficult position to drop in any leadership position cold. And so that chairman had to come out of that, you know, that past committee. And so my sophomore year, I was on the construction committee. My junior year, I was the chairman of the construction committee. And then my senior year, somehow they selected me for the chairman. I thought hard about applying. I thought about not applying because FD was always kind of frustrating in a sense, because there's always a lot of this, an awful lot of work, and it all comes down to the wire. And there's always a lot of people that, you know, everybody kind of wants their own thing. And it's hard. Sometimes it's very frustrating trying to integrate all this stuff. And also by my junior year, I was starting to think, that FD was a lot of expenditure for a 4-hour ball, you know. And there are people that could criticize that aspect of the ball, and you know, I understand where they're coming from. So I wasn't sure that my senior year I wanted to take on the responsibility, but I wound up applying for it the last minute, like the day before the thing was due. You know, been out for 2 weeks to apply. I ran up there one day, filled an application, stuck it in the box the day before it was due, or the day it was due or something. And they interviewed me, and they didn't really ask me much about how I was going to run, you know, how I wanted to run the ball. What they wanted to talk about, the most important thing I remember from that interview was my junior year, we were in the big gym, we had a big storm roll through or something, the power went out. The power was out on the whole campus or on the whole town or something. It was like Friday morning, and you know, the power was out, and here we are trying to set up this ball. There's no lights, there's no electricity, there's nothing. And going into the gym that morning, I remember I said, well, the power's out, but that's not really a big deal, because I said, well, we already have most of our heavy construction done. We can just use our hand tools. Leo and I were just kind of sitting, this will be kind of neat, you know, we'll be like Bob Vila, we'll get our hand tools and go to work. Well, we got in that gym, and what we didn't think about was that there's no windows in that gym. It's pitch black, it's dark as a tomb. And so we stood around in there and scratched our heads for a couple hours in this pitch black tomb, thinking, we got 8 hours for this ball. What, you know, what the heck are we going to do? But they got the power back on, and it was no big deal. But that's what they wanted to talk about when they interviewed me, was what happened when the power went out. What do y'all think?
That's a good question.
I told them what I just told you, is that, well, we thought it'd be kind of neat until we got in there and saw how dark it was. So they I guess they picked me to do it that year, and they picked Dan Felton to be the vice chair, and he'd worked on it 2 years previously and knew what was going on. And then, interestingly enough, the auditor that year was a girl named Kathy Boozer, and she'd never been on the FD committee, but her connection to FD was that at the time she was dating Kelly Land, who had been the construction chairman the first year Leo and I had done it 2 years previously. So for us, that was kind of a neat connection, because it was almost like we were working with Kelly again. Mm-hmm. And so the three of us, the EC picks us in the spring, like in a spring term. And so we kind of have spring and summer to mull over, you know, the big things like the committee organization. And then we came back that fall, and the first thing after men's rush was finished, around the 1st of September, we got the ball rolling and picked our committee. We had about 100 applications, I think. And we had 100 applications. Everybody fills out an application and comes in for a 5 or 10 minute interview. And then we just picked off of that. And there's a lot of turnover, I think. There used to be, anyway. About half or better of the people would, you know, be back the second year from the previous year. And we tried to distribute, you know, among all the classes. We didn't want all juniors and seniors, because then, you know, we had to have some people to carry on. And, you know, Melissa Corson, this year's chairman, was on that committee that year, as was Joanna Munson. And so, we just picked them, and we put together a pretty good committee that year. I mean, you know, there certainly we made some mistakes, I think, but there was, I think, in overall, it was a great committee, and it turned out to be a good, successful.
And you felt like the 43 were enough?
I felt like the 43 was enough. 43 were enough. But pretty much, I thought there was a lot of fluff in the previous committee. There were a lot of people that I thought, they said, well, there's 6 people on the memorabilia committee, so, you know, my job is not individually that important. I kind of felt, by shrinking the size of the committees, we were increasing the involvement of the people that were on there, because mm-hmm. it's the same amount of work, just less people to split it up amongst. And it worked out pretty well. It's good to have those extra, it would have been good to have those extra 20 people around at the gym a couple of days before, but we managed to, we survived without that.
Now, what time of year does the theme get selected? When does that happen?
Well, for the 95 ball, we picked the committee during the first 2 weeks of September, and by October 1st, we had the theme decided.
So how do you keep it a secret all that time?
Well, that's
a lot of people to keep
trick.
A secret.
That is a trick. And we try the usual enticements, carrot and stick kind of thing. This is really important, and we want to keep it a secret. And there's a lot of people that treat it that way, but there's always some people that, you know, that find out what it is. And I don't think that's the big, I don't think that they find out, that they find out is such the big deal. I think just kind of the aura of the secrecy is as the magic of the ball. And so as long as we attempt to maintain that, I think that's good. And we just have to, you know, everybody kind of does their best. And sure, it gets out, and, you know, Leo and I sit around, people sit around and talk about how they're going to design this and that, and, you know, somebody else overhears them, or somebody checks out 8 books on how to build a circus, and their roommate figures out, you know, they wouldn't just be looking this up for their own edification. You know, so it kind of gets out, but that's really an interesting part of FD, because it always kind of adds to the rumor mill, really starts to grind about that thing, you know, because especially I remember my sophomore year when we did the movie theme, you know, people kind of knew it was about the movies, but some thought it was all Gone with the Wind. Some thought it was a Western theme, and in actuality, those are only small parts of the larger thing. So that's really kind of a neat thing, because people kind of try to figure it out, and mm-hmm. they kind of work around it and get close, but sometimes they just never do. And then you know, you say for 95, we can say, well, we're going to do it on Paris. Well, that's a big topic, and there's about 80,000 different ways to spin that topic. And so, You know, people may figure out the theme, but they never really understand the spin, I think, until a little later. So, yeah, that's a good question. It's a tough thing to do to keep that secret.
So, which year did you do? 95?
Right, I was the chairman in 95.
95. And the theme then was?
Was Une Soirée Parisienne.
Oh, I heard real good things about that one.
Well, I think it was a good ball, but I think, I hate to say it, but I guess I'm pleased to say it. I think the one I went to last night was just every bit, you know, every bit as good. I think I had a lot of fun with this one, and I used to think that, this is another thing, Leo and I used to, and Kelly Land and the other guys we worked, we used to build the heck out of this stuff. We went through enough lumber to build small houses some years, built these big entrances and that, and as it turns out, a lot of that stuff's not really as important as we like to think it is. It's really, you know, do the people come and does everything mesh together, and do the people come and do they have a good time, and that's really how you define a good FD, and in that sense, the best FD I ever went to was last night's, because I had the most fun last night. And maybe that's because the other 3 years I kind of knew what we were hoping to do and what we didn't get to do. And, you know, saying, oh, we were going to do this, but we couldn't do it. And so it's kind of like a little let down. You add those things up, and then maybe just the stress of trying to put that all together. But when you just come in and see it like you do last night, and then you say, you know, wow. It doesn't matter what they were going to do. It just matters what they did. And what they did was great, you know, and it looked great, and there's a great atmosphere there. And it's just that whole magic of FD. That's one of the greatest things about FD is the way it brings us, you know, brings the school together like that. The school has a very strong social tradition, and FD I think is at the pinnacle of that. It's at the pinnacle of that tradition, and the school is, you know, is a fairly homogeneous student body, as I think, as far as colleges go, but the students are kind of cliquish. You know, there's different. Everything's oriented around the Greek system, and because of that, it's fairly cliquish. But FD is kind of, it seems to me that in a sense, FD is one of the big events of the year that kind of equalizes that. Everybody comes together on that dance floor, and it doesn't matter, you know, where you're from, what you're studying, who you hang out with. Everybody's just kind of in there together, and, you know, you see everybody, and everybody sees everybody else. And that's really the whole magic of FD, and in that sense, that's where the fun is, because just getting out there and just getting out there and seeing everybody and being seen and having a good time is the important part. And the decorations that, and the things like the fireworks that you know, I used to think were so all important are, you know, really not, they're not as big as I like to think. And just the creation of that atmosphere is important. However that atmosphere gets created, you know, whether you do it with a forest load of lumber or whether you do it with something else, it's just the creation of that atmosphere is the important part.
One of the things I was struck by last year, and I had only been here for a very short time mm-hmm. when Fancy Dress happened, I was so impressed that we were all out there together. Mm-hmm. And I guess from a student's point of view, it's interesting to have people from different fraternities meshing, mm-hmm. but I was intrigued to see the students and the faculty,
right.
and the administrators,
right.
and the buildings and grounds people there right. in their black ties.
They're all there, and it is just an amazing event from that because you know everybody school here is kind of on their different planes. You know, there's the kind of the professors hang out in one way and the students hang out another way, but FD kind of brings everybody up to the same grand level. You know, and a lot of people talk a lot about, you know, the WNL people drink and this and all that, and that you see this, you know, this excess and all. But when you go to FD, you know, you don't see any of that. You know, you don't see people fighting at FD. You don't see people, you know, it's just everybody rises to that occasion, and it's just fabulous because, you know, like I say, that gym floor and that black tie is just this great equalizer among everybody. And everybody just rises to the occasion, and it just adds to the grandness of the event.
It really does. Well, now tell me about Paris, Une Soirée Parisienne.
Well, we We picked that theme out of a group of about four or five others. I remember that year we also thought about doing something like a Monte Carlo or some kind of gambling theme, but then we weren't sure. We weren't sure whether we liked that. There were kind of people thought there was that kind of sleazed aspect to that, and didn't want any parts of that. And then we thought about doing. Seems like we thought about doing a Monopoly board that year. But then that's probably a neat idea. But the problem we thought with the Monopoly board is, again, from a decoration standpoint, the big gem is fine. But what do you do with the rest of the stuff? And also there was somebody wanted to do something like Peter Pan or some other cartoon-oriented theme. But the previous year we'd done a magical carpet ride, which kind of had a cartoony theme. And then the silver screen year, there was a lot of talk that they had a lot of trouble with trademark or copyright violations and almost got in big trouble because I don't know if you've seen the shirts for that, but they have the Paramount Pictures logo on the shirts, except instead of the peak they had House Mountain in there. And apparently that, you know, and they have the characters on the back from the Wizard of Oz on the shirt, and they're duplicated in there, and apparently that's walking some kind of fine line. And so, you know, so we were looking for a theme that didn't, that had a very something that had very elegant base that people could appeal to. You know, Leo and I wanted something that we thought we could do some construction with. Wanted something to avoid the copyright problems. And somebody came up with this Paris idea, and it seemed to fit. You know, it seemed to fit everything. There's this elegance to Paris that is amazing. The women on the committee loved it because a lot of them had been to Paris or were intrigued by, you know, by Paris and the excitement and the grandness of Paris. Those of us on the construction aspect of it liked it because, you know, things like the Arc de Triomphe and the Eiffel Tower, you know, we could build those, and we did. And then it just kind of lent itself very well to an elegant atmosphere, and I think it was a very good theme, and it worked out pretty well. And we even had a French title on there, you know, Une Soirée Parisienne, to kind of add to that aura. And it took me, I got a lot of laughs in that committee because it took me a while to get that, you know, pronunciation down. And they still say I draw that out, or in whatever way that people say that I speak, but they say that I draw that out. And we had a lot of fun with that. We had a French major on the committee. Carrie Baker came up with the name and spelled it out for us, and we were all very pleased about that theme. And it was a great, you know, it was a great theme. Like I say, the theme has to be good from the get-go. If you have people on the committee who from the start don't like the theme at all, you know, then, you know, you've got a problem, because then right away you're trying to get somebody to volunteer their time to do something, volunteer a lot of their time to do something they're not interested in, is, you know, not a recipe for success. But so the Paris theme turned out very well, and we built along the back wall of that gym. It was about a 40-foot long, averaging maybe 16 feet tall model of the Palace of Versailles. It kind of went all around, and the band sat out in front of it, and it was made of just styrofoam, but it was all painted up on a wood frame. And then we were very fortunate that year to have some good art students, one of whom turned out to be the chairman the next year, Ashley Bell. And she was very art-oriented, and we had paintings from the Louvre. We just got prints from some museum somewhere. So we had paintings from the Louvre. In one of the back corners of the big gym, we built a big heavy-duty stage, and we had these can-can dancers. And we hired this dancing troupe, and, you know, Bo Thorpe was doing his thing. And then he would go on break, and these can-can dancers would come out, and they would do their routine with the big ruffled skirts and everything. And that was a really neat aspect, because a lot of times FD is just kind of this static display. And this time we actually had these dancers out there. We had their own light show and their own music and everything, and they came on and off during the band breaks. And then in the other corner, we had this massive garden. It was probably 40 feet long and maybe 20, 30 feet wide, and we built it so it was a walk-through garden. It was, you walked up on steps, you walked through the garden, had rail, and had like a little false stream running through there, and had trellises, and we had about $4,000 worth of plants on this thing. You know, tulips, all kinds of flowers. I don't know where they got them all. You know, we got somebody down at Lexington Florist, Dan Felton, got these, got, and just pour all these things in, and we put all the flowers in this corner, and it, that corner just looked spectacular. I mean, it was a good, simple, you know, a good, simple walk through the corner. It was just spectacular. Had a little porch there with a couple of benches in it, and then we had some street lights around, you know, and that was amazing. The only thing bad about that corner was, I looked up sometime during the ball, I think it was late at the ball, and there was some woman who, I guess, she just gotten a little too sick, a little upset in her stomach over in that corner, but right there in those plants, but you know.
Oops.
But other than that, it was a really interesting corner. And then we had an Eiffel Tower in the small gym, and Leo built this Eiffel Tower. And it was 20 feet tall, and you could walk up through the Eiffel Tower, and you stood up in the Eiffel Tower and had a photographer. You had your picture made standing in the Eiffel Tower, and that was back in the back of the big gym. And then the entrance.
That was in the big gym or the
small
gym?
In the back of the small gym, yeah. And then in the entrance we had the Arc de Triomphe. You walked through that. I mean, that was, you know, we thought about the theme, you know, stuff just jumped out at us like, the Arc de Triomphe is the entrance. What else do you put, you know? You say, well, we got to have the Eiffel Tower. So we got to put the Eiffel Tower in there somewhere. And it's like, well, Palace of Versailles is amazing. And put that up there, you know? We thought that theme, we just instantaneously, stuff was just coming up like corners. We actually had, you know, we almost had to narrow stuff down just to what, you know, it wasn't, usually it's like, well, okay, we got to figure something to put out in this corner. We got to figure out something to put in this corner. This year, that year was almost like, we got to leave something out because we just can't put it all in, you know. And we had a massive construction budget that year. We spent like about $6,000 worth of lumber. The whole ball, we spent about $70,000 putting that one on, and it worked out really well. The only flop in that ball was the balloon drop. We had it oftentimes in the past done fireworks, and we had fireworks coming off the football field, but the fireworks were always kind of bad because it was a fairly short, fireworks are expensive, it was a fairly short display, like 5 minutes, and a lot of people would miss them because, you know, it would take everybody a while to get out to see them, or if the weather was bad, you know, if the clouds were low, or if it was cold and snowy or something. So if we tried to get away from the fireworks, we thought about doing a big balloon drop in there, and so we hired these guys to do a balloon drop for us, but it might have been a good idea, it didn't get executed all that well, but still, I thought the ball, I mean, granted, I have the most biased opinion going, but I thought the ball worked out pretty well, and I was pretty pleased to have part of it. We had a lot of good people on the committee that made a lot of excellent contributions that year, and everything panned out well for it.
You mentioned earlier that the small gym often poses problems.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Well, the problem with the small gym is one of the big problems of the small gym is that track that overhangs. So you can't put, that might be the biggest problem. Because in the big gym, you can put stuff in the corners and you can go up high with it. But in the small gym, that track is there, and so you only have about 10 or 12 feet underneath that track that you can decorate with. And also, the small gym, you can't really load that up with big decorations because it's not that big to start with. I think part of it is the deal with that track, and I think part of it is the deal that the focus is always kind of on the big gym, and the focus is always on the more elegant deal going on in the big gym because that's where the swing band is. And then the small gym kind of gets left. But the other problem is if you want to put anything big in there, and we always did it, but they didn't do it this past one, and I thought it worked out great, you know, last night. It was fabulous. But when we did it, they had always pretty much tried to put something big in the back of the big gym. Like that year, 95, we had the Eiffel Tower in the back, you know, back there by the offices. And the year before that, in 94, when we did the Magic Carpet Ride, we had, I don't know why, but we built a gazebo and put a gazebo back there, and you could come stand in the gazebo and sit down. And And the year before that, in 93, we had that big movie screen back there. So there, we always tried to build something, but it was always tough to get stuff to go in there.
I thought last night it was the best part of the whole time.
Yeah, I thought last night it was fabulous, the way it worked out. I mean, that, you know, when you think about the big top, that carousel, that small gym lends itself. You know, that overhanging track, which we often thought of as a curse, was a blessing for them last night with that overhanging track. And then we'd often done the ceiling in the small gym, but last night they had it coming up to the ring like a circus tent. But we always just had it draped up over a bar. But last night that small gym was amazing. It just looked like a tent.
And with those lights,
and those lights coming down it, and the carousel horses, it was by far and away the best small gym in terms of decorations I've ever seen, and probably ever hope to see. I mean, it was fabulous. The small gym just lent itself to that theme, and they did a beautiful job of putting that together. And the other thing about the small gym is that I think most people spend most of the time in the big gym, and it just has to be that way because the big gym is kind of how many times larger, but you know, people probably spend 3/4 of their time in the big gym and 1/4 of their time in the small gym. And I always spent almost all my time in the big gym at the bowl because I never built much in the small gym. Most people always did that. And it always seemed like events conspired against us. We always had a crappy band in there. And so nobody ever wanted to stay in there. So it was just kind of the whole small gym was kind of like this bastard child of the bowl a lot of years. But last night it turned out very well. It was fabulous.
How does the band get picked?
Well, I don't really know that.
so the fancy dress people don't have anything? Yeah, we do
pick that. And it used to be that we had, or in the first 2 years I did it, when I was a sophomore and junior, then the committee picked the band as a whole. Kind of they had, you know, people thought of bands that they might want to get, and then we tried to pick them from that. It's kind of a vote thing. I'm pretty shady on how that worked because I never had much to do with it. But my senior year, we made a new position. We put somebody in charge of that. We called them the entertainment coordinator because there always seemed to be a lot of hassle with, you know, bands. They always had all these little things in their contract, like they want 11 bottles of bottled water and 4 large pizzas and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, then you have to coordinate the sound and all that stuff. And so we just put this guy in there and said, you know, okay, you find some bands and bring them to us and we'll vote on them or whatever. And then you'd be responsible for taking care of all these little things that they need and making sure the sound equipment gets in and making sure you got guys to move them in on Friday afternoon and all that. And so we did that year, and that worked out pretty well. We had a problem that year because we unknowingly got committed into a band that we were trying to just get a price on them, and we somehow wound up committing ourselves to this band, and we found it was too high for us. And so we were kind of stuck into this contract, and this was big mistake that I made, is not, you know, I guess not overseeing this or not understanding how this works, not getting help when I needed it. And so we got this band that year that it was a little more than what we budgeted, and so we kind of had to pull away from some other things to cover that. But it turned out pretty well. I think the band that year was pretty good. They're always kind of trying to get a Motown, something to contrast with the with the band that's in the big gym, and I always try to get somebody that is not, you know, there's some very good bands that play in fraternity house basements around here, like Dave Matthews, who's now, you know, mega star, used to play on the campus a lot, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago before he went through the roof, and they thought about getting him in the small gym, and they thought about getting Doug Clark and the Hot Nuts, who play on campus all the time. But the thing is, those kind of bands, people already, you know, people have heard those guys and they already know them. We always try to bring in somebody else that was a little step above that. And I guess I said a minute ago the bands are all, we've never seen that good bands. But I guess that's really an exaggeration of the truth. I think they usually turn out to be pretty good.
We need to turn the tape over.